welcome back. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. That was Hot Tamales and Red Hots by Damon Fowler. That was a live edition of that song. It was very good. I love that song. Mm-hmm. Let's see. If at any time during the show you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502, or you can tweet us at Marco Radio Show 1. If you were with us at the beginning of the show, we had our full crew. Yes. We are back for the second half of our show, and we have lost a member. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lost Senior Tyler this evening. Yes. For the rest of the show, he had to boogie on down to Sarasota to do his thing with Deceptive Intruder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be down there, and he's going to be doing a little bit of this. It's going to be loud, everybody.
And fast.
Loud and fast. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's on his way down to Sarasota to do that with the rest of his band.
Yes, and down they're headed down to Kelly's Live.
Kelly's Live, right.
5252 Tamiami Trail.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not ever been down there.
Should
be a lot of fun. Let's see, what else? What do we have here? Do we want to talk about movies and entertainment?
We can.
Yeah, we can.
Why don't we do that? Let's see. Hannah Claire, we mentioned earlier in the show that you today watched Trainspotting.
Yes.
For the first time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's that movie, I'm guessing, when do you think that came out, Steph? Early 90s? Something like that?
Oh, I don't know. Hmm. It says what when
Oh,
it
this
came
was
out.
Like the 20th anniversary or something like that. Right. So what's that make it? Do the math.
97.
97. So, okay. Anyway, it's an entertaining movie, but we all decided that even though it's humorous, if you really look at the story, it's kind of sad. It's about heroin addiction.
Right.
And all of its downfalls.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is there somebody knocking at the door?
It's just Tilly.
It's just Tilly.
Chewing on something mm-hmm. on the door.
She's, you know.
Right. Let's see. Hannah Claire, have you seen any other movies lately?
I actually watched Malibu's Most Wanted for the first time the other day.
No, what is that?
Is that a movie?
It is a movie. It's an old movie about this white rich kid who...
He thinks he's a rapper?
Yes.
I've
yeah.
seen that.
He's like this complete wigger.
That is the worst movie
that
I've
movie
ever seen.
It's so funny. And like these two tall guys kidnap him and try to show him, scare him out of his ways.
Right.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie.
It's mm-hmm. hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Is it supposed to be hilarious?
I don't know. Maybe not, but okay. I don't know. I thought it was quite funny.
I'm just checking.
Quite enjoyable.
One of the sad things for me is I'm having a hard time finding a good movie. What was the last movie we watched, Steph? Was it that Fantastic Seven or whatever? What was it?
Magnificent
Seven.
I think I mentioned it last time, but I watched that movie with Chris Pratt and what's her nuts? That's a good one. Lost in space or
Passengers.
Whatever.
Passengers.
Waking up. Yeah.
Isn't that it? I think, Passengers?
Yeah.
Where they
one.
Wake up early?
It's mm. a good one. It's pretty intense.
What I'm really looking forward to now is I'm really in the mood for a good binge watch. Yeah. I have, I'm like jonesing for another Making a Murderer.
Right.
Right.
Love for that to come back out. I'm almost tempted to watch it over again.
Oh, yeah.
There's another one that I saw advertised, and it's not out yet, Steph, but you look for it. It's called The Keepers, Who Killed Sister Kathy?
Right.
And it was actually billed as the next Making a Murderer.
And that comes out in another week or two. Mm-hmm. So it's close.
And then Hannah turned us on to this one called... was it 13 questions?
13 Reasons Why.
Oh, 13 Reasons Why.
Yes.
And it's kind of like a teen angst
yes.
sort of series. It's all about high school kids and bullying. And one of the kids commits suicide. And
here's the 13 Reasons
here's
Why.
Here's the sends all these letters and no, videotapes.
No, audio not tapes.
Audio
cassettes.
Cassette tapes to all these different people basically let them know why they were involved in her committing suicide, something like that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty well done.
Yes.
You know, I'd like to know where that movie is filmed because it looks like a really cool little town.
Yeah, it does. It really does. You know, great location.
Yeah, we were talking earlier on the show, well, before the show, that we were how you and I, obviously older than Hannah.
Thank goodness.
We're able to relate to the kids in the show. And I said, well, you know, even though it's filmed as if it's modern high school kids, their interactions and things like that remind me a lot of when I was in high school.
Right. Some things about high school never change, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't see a whole lot of social media, you know?
Yeah, in the whole series, there's not too much social media.
And she sends everybody cassette tapes. You know what I mean?
Right.
When was the last time you saw a cassette tape? I don't think I've physically seen a cassette tape in 20 years.
I see them all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's because you work at the asylum.
No, but that was, I mean, part of, I think, the reason she put it on cassette tapes.
Right.
Is because it was old school. Oh. You know, no one would think to question or whatever. One of the things that Hannah brought up was what she found, quote, unrealistic about it was she didn't have everybody's phone number in high school. Like, she couldn't text a picture.
No.
To mass text a picture and every single person in the high school would get it. No. I don't know.
But it also seems to be a smaller town.
Yeah.
You know, where... the school population is smaller, and even though it looks like these mass texts are going out as one, I have a feeling it's going to one group who
they're sending it to the next
who then
group.
Sends it and whatever. But we are, I think, through 8 of the 13 reasons.
Okay.
And there's 13 episodes.
So yeah, there's 13 episodes.
So we're episode 8, or through 8.
We're through 8.
So we're heading to 9.
Heading into 9. So we've only got 4 more to go.
Right. It's interesting you said that, you know, you didn't have everybody's phone number, you know, that went to your school. But I can remember back in the day before we had cell phones, I remembered a lot of numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you had to. You had to memorize everybody's number.
Right. You didn't have a built-in phone book in the phone hanging in the kitchen.
I mean, to this day, I mean, I knew everybody in my family's number.
Mm-hmm.
I knew all of my closest friends' numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I knew everybody. I knew where people worked, their work numbers, their home numbers.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Now we're too busy trying to remember all of our passwords.
I know
to
your
remember
number.
Anything about anyone else.
I know your number, Steph. But I can't call. If somebody asked me what Hannah's phone number was, I'd have to look it up in my phone.
Right.
I have no idea what your number is.
My phone number has far too many sevens in it.
I know it starts with 727.
Yeah.
That's all
well,
I know.
So does everyone's in this area.
The thing with you and I, Mark,
right.
is we have had the same
right.
cell phone numbers for almost 20 years.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we kind of know those numbers.
I think it is the only cell phone number I've ever had.
It is.
Yeah.
That is the only cell phone number, and it's the only cell phone number I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got those in 98 when we moved to Florida.
Right.
Was when we got our first cell phones. And we still had a home phone back then.
That's right,
then.
That had the business
We had a business phone also.
Do you remember that number?
It was like 38...
399-8889.
8-8-8, yeah. That's what it was.
Anyway.
You're so right.
And then we also had a fax line. I mean, we had 3 hard-lined phone line numbers in this house, plus 2 cell phones. Yeah. And over the years, those have all gone away.
Do you remember any of your old friends' phone numbers?
No.
I can one of the ones, probably the only one that I can still remember, is two of my very best friends, Sean and Carol Waldner, 922-9217.
They might still have that phone number.
I'm sure they do.
You
but
probably
I
shouldn't
I
give that out on the air.
I didn't give the area code.
555-1212.
I don't know why I still remember that number, but I do.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Let's see. Still talking about movies. One of the movies that's coming out, Hannah Claire, I don't know if you ever saw the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Yes. With Groot.
It has a great soundtrack.
Okay. Well, Guardians of the new one,
yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 came out last night.
Yeah.
Steve Persall.
Sold out.
Tampa Bay Times movie critic, he gave it a B-. That's not too bad.
No.
Not bad at all.
For that kind of movie. And that's also, that looks like Chris Pratt. Is that him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure, Chris Pratt.
Do you know who Groot is? Vin Diesel.
Who's Groot?
He's a tree thing.
Who's baby Groot? Do you know?
It's Groot. In the first one, Groot got exploded and turned into a baby.
It looks like the raccoon is Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Rocket Raccoon or something.
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, I don't know. I'm so disappointed with movies these days that it's going to be hard for me to go to the theater and spend any money. I mean, I'll wait for them to come out on Netflix.
Right.
That kind of thing. But lately, I have not seen anything.
Yeah.
That has given me any cause for one to watch again.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember when they made movies, classic movies, not even considering movies like from the 40s and 50s and things like that, or even 60s, but like if you consider like a Raging Bull,
yeah,
I could watch that movie, you know, back to back.
Right.
If I had to.
Right.
Scarface.
Yeah.
Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those were classic movies.
Right.
They're not making movies like that anymore.
No,
They're just not.
Well, they're running out of ideas, you know? There's only so many things you can make movies about, you know?
Well, you know what? Now that you think about it, if you said to me, come up with a movie idea.
Right.
I mean, what's
going
to be original?
Yeah, exactly. What's new? What's different?
What hasn't been done?
Exactly. Mm. And then if you choose something that has already been done, you're competing against all of the other ones that have been done. You know what I mean? So,
you know who I think is a very good actor and still fairly young? Is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I think he makes very good movies.
Definitely.
That Wolves of Wall Street was a good movie.
Yes,
I'd see that again.
Definitely. The one with the bear where he got...
Oh, right.
Yeah. That was a great one.
That.
Yeah.
Titanic.
Titanic, yeah.
Django.
Django,
was it Unchained?
Yeah, Django. What was the one? The Aviator.
The Aviator is very good.
That's a great one.
What's the one where he changes his in one scene he's a doctor, the next he's a pilot. I mean, he does all these things to get over on people for a certain amount of times. It's like he's being followed.
I wish I
could think of what it was. And then he did that one movie in Thailand. I think it was called The Island The Beach.
Easter Island or something.
No, I think it's called The Beach. That's a good movie.
Yeah, he does another crazy like island movie where he goes investigating.
Yeah, well, he thinks he's investigating, and it turns out that he's the one
patient.
He's the patient. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. He's great range, you know what I mean?
Yep, for a young guy. He's one of the best actors of our time.
Right.
Anyway.
From Gilbert Grape to that's pretty impressive.
Let's see, the top five recommended movies for this weekend. Still, Fate of the Furious, which I don't get.
No,
I don't have any inclination to go see that. Colossal, Get Out, Gifted, and The Dinner. And The Dinner is a new movie with Richard Gere and Steve Coogan. Richard Gere. It's been a long time since I've seen him in a movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you have any idea who this Gal Gadot is?
No.
Well, she's like the new Wonder Woman.
Oh.
She's not hard to look at.
No.
Yeah,
she's
very
cool.
Very pretty. Anyway. Let's see. Another thing that's coming up
here
that I would not mind seeing, and this is something that somebody that I've seen four, possibly five times, and that's Tom Petty.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Tom Petty actually is going to be here in town at the Amalie Arena tomorrow night.
Whoa.
Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. It's the 40th anniversary tour. That is tomorrow. It says Saturday.
Wow.
Gotta see it. Yep. Gotta go.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that. Tickets are not bad. $31.25 and up.
I wonder if any of those $31.25 tickets are left.
I doubt. Well, I don't know. I mean, these days, it's Tom Petty. I mean... He's not the draw that he used to be. But who's opening up for Tom Petty is Joe Walsh.
Oh, nice.
So you're going to hear a little this first. Little Joe Walsh. This is Funk 49, everybody. See how that changes that, head?
Yeah, that the stereo headphones. Very cool back
Joe
in the
Walsh
day.
Joe Walsh of Eagles fame.
Yes.
James Gang. Mm-hmm. Very cool. This would actually be a very cool show to see.
Yeah, it would.
So you listen to this, and then when he's done, then you get a little... Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, everybody.
What are we doing?
I know, we need tickets. Seen him four, possibly five times. I'd do that again.
Absolutely.
Definitely do that again. I don't know if you remember my Tom Petty story. I was in LAX, and I had just dropped. Did I drop you off?
I think you. No, you were picking me up.
I was picking Steph up at LAX. This is when I was in the Marine Corps.
And this was back when you could actually meet your arriving party at the gate.
Meet people at the gate. And I'm standing there, and I'm actually on the phone back home to Richmond, Virginia, from LAX, talking to my mom. My best buddy, Paul Hunley, was there. And so I'm talking to both of them on the phone, and I'm looking down the corridor, and I see this group of people walking down, and I see all of this, like, long blonde hair and tall guys with long, dark, curly hair and stuff like that. And the closer I got, I'm you know, standing, like, against the wall on the phone. I said, hold on a minute. And I stretched my arm out as far as I could so I can get as far into the middle of the corridor as I could.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Yeah. Okay, you have to remember, this was back in the late 80s.
Right.
Dad was on a payphone attached to a wall.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So that you have the right picture in your mind. He is on a payphone at the airport.
Yeah, so I'm like... Oh, my God. And I must have been mouthing, that's Tom Petty. And the one dude in the band, the tall guy, I think it was Mike Lynch, he looked at me and nodded his head like, you're right.
You're right. Yeah, good job.
And they walked right by me and walked right on the plane.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that was cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, I got off my flight, and he was like, oh, my God, I just saw Tom Petty.
Right. Didn't even care about seeing
you. Oh, my
you.
God, it's great to see you. Oh, my God, you just saw it. You just missed Tom Petty.
Well, Tom Petty was always one of my rock and roll heroes. I love Tom Petty.
I think
Petty.
That was the first concert you and I went to,
mm-hmm.
and it was Tom Petty.
Right.
And who opened for Tom Petty?
The Georgia Satellites.
The Georgia Satellites.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep your hands to yourself.
Right, right.
Right.
Don't hand me no lines and keep your hands to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was at that outdoor amphitheater there in Orange County.
And then we saw him again also in California. Remember they had that that stage that had the big like tree and he climbed up in the tree and it was really kind of cool.
Right.
He's very good in concert because he does a lot of talking to the
to the crowd.
To the crowd. Very cool. That one concert that we went to in the outdoor one, that's when he was like, "Yeah, I've had a rough week. I had a plane crash in the back of my house."
Yeah, right.
Burned my whole studio down.
What?
Yeah.
How does that just happen?
Right. Yeah, it happens. Whatever.
Very cool. Anyway.
Well, yeah, we should check into that. I mean, we don't have any plans tomorrow night, do we?
No, not that know of.
Well,
that wouldn't be bad.
No.
Shoot.
We should do that. Where is it? Amalie Arena?
Amalie Arena, everybody. So, let's see. It does not give a time, but I'm, you know, assuming
I'm guessing
it's
around
seven.
Right. Yeah.
If you want more information on tickets, like I said, they start at $31.25 and go up from there. But if you want to call Amalie Arena, you can call 813-301-2500 or you can go online to AmalieArena.com. And that's just right over there in Tampa.
Yes.
Tampa.
That would be a lot of fun to go do that. I love Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And he's a Florida boy.
Yes, he is.
Gainesville.
Gainesville.
Gainesville, everybody.
That was a cool documentary, too.
It was. Very good. Let's see. Do we want to take a break and play Stump the Chump?
Yes. Yes, we can.
You down for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you winning?
I'm winning.
It's about Cinco de Mayo.
Winning.
I don't. Somebody's got to win something. We didn't win the $1,000 a day, $5,000 a week. I'm pissed.
We didn't even win. What was our? What was the least?
Minimum, probably $10. You're $10.
We didn't even get a free ticket.
No free ticket. No $10.
I'm gonna take that thing back. I know which guy sold that to me. I'm gonna smack him right in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Smack him with
punk.
It.
I'm pretty sure I asked for a guarantee.
We had ticket 001, so this was the first one from
the
roll.
First loser.
Great. Yeah, the first loser.
That's why.
No wonder.
Anyway.
He's selling us ticket one.
All right, we're going to take a break. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We're going to take a little break. I want you to listen to a little Mexicali blues. It's going to be performed by Bob Weir of Grateful Dead.
Nice.
Ooh.
Laid back in an old saloon with a peso in my hand, watching flies and children on the street, and I catch a glimpse of black-eyed girls who giggle when I smile. There's a little boy that wants to shine my feet, and it's 3 days ride from Bakersfield, and I don't know why I came. I guess I came to keep from paying dues. So instead I've got a bottle, and a girl who's just 14, and a damn good case of the Mexicali blues. Yeah. Is there anything a man don't stand to lose when the devil wants to take it all away? Cherish well. Keep a tight grip on your booze, 'cause thinking and drinking are all I had today. She said her name was Billie Jean. She was fresh in town. I didn't know a stage line around. A necklace made of gold, all the French perfume you'd care to smell. She took me up into her room, whispered in my ear, go on my friend, do anything you choose. Now I'm paying for those happy hours I spent there in her arms, with a lifetime's worth of the Mexicali blues.
Like I said before the break, that was a Mexicali blues performed by Mr. Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead.
Yes, for Cinco de Mayo.
For Cinco de Mayo. All of our songs this evening will have that sort of theme.
Cinco de Marco.
Cinco de Marco, right. If we're lucky enough, we'll get to our next song, Oyo Como Va, by Santana.
Great one.
Nice.
Santana.
Santana.
Santana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we mentioned before the break that we were going to play Stump the Chump. Stephanie, do we have a theme?
We do.
Okay, this is going to be a very heated game because it's me against Hannah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So the pressure is on. We shall see who wins.
All right, Hannah Claire, do you have your bell?
Yes.
Do you have your ringer?
It's not ringing.
Where's my hooter?
It's been rigged.
Yeah, right. Dad stuffed paper in it.
So Stephanie, our theme is Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
Trivia.
Trivia.
Right. Trivia.
Lay it on us.
All right. In what country is Cinco de Mayo most widely celebrated? Hannah.
Mexico.
No.
What?
Really?
Really.
What country?
Spain. New Mexico. Spain.
The United States of America.
The United States of America.
Mm. What posers.
Mark gets that one. What other holiday is Cinco de Mayo most frequently confused with? Is it Mardi Gras, Day of the Dead, 4th of July, or Mexican Independence Day? Hannah.
Mexican Independence Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One that? All. Now, on May 5th, 1862, a Mexican militia unexpectedly defeated the French in what battle?
Pueblo.
Hannah.
Pueblo.
Hannah gets it.
No, she said Pueblo. It's Puebla.
Go home.
Go home. He is home.
I am home.
And she rang first. So Hannah has two. Mark has one. What French leader sent troops to Mexico in an effort to assert territorial control? Was it King Louis XVIII, King Charles X, or Emperor Napoleon III? Mark.
Emperor Napoleon III.
Napoleon.
Yes. And with that, we are tied 2-2. During what decades did Cinco de Mayo celebrations become popular in the U.S.? Was it the 1920s to 1930s, the 1950s to the 1960s, the 1980s to the 1990s, or 2000 to 2010? Mark.
80s to 90s.
No. Oh,
2000 to 2010.
No.
No. 60s to 70s.
Well, I'm going to give nobody that point because, one, 60s to 70s wasn't an option.
Oh, look at that.
It was 50s to 60s.
Is that the right answer?
That is the correct answer. The 1950s to the 1960s, which I thought was interesting. The reason being... it says Cinco de Mayo celebrations began in the U.S. because of its good neighbor policy.
Ah.
Mm. Now we're building a wall.
Yep.
Nice.
How many men made up the Mexican militia that defeated the French in the battle on May 5th, 1862?
Cinco.
Cinco.
I was going to say.
Five. No, was it 500, 1,500, 2,000, or 6,000? Hannah.
1,500.
No. Mark.
6,500.
That wasn't
an option, but no.
Two.
Yes.
Yes.
2,000.
Does Hannah get that point?
Hannah gets that point. Thousand. So 2,000 men made up the Mexican militia that defeated the French.
Woohoo, gonna win it.
Who, and I'm gonna mess this up so bad. Who was the president of Mexico in 1862?
Let me see it, I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah. Was it, I'll just skip that one. It was Benito Juarez.
Oh.
Because I can't pronounce everybody else's name. All right, so that was a fail. What is the most popular food eaten on Cinco de Mayo in Mexico? Hannah.
Tacos.
No.
Burrito.
No.
Chinchillas. Or not chinchillas.
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 Isn't that a... Chalupas.
Chalupas, I don't think, are even a real Mexican food.
That's just Taco Bell.
That's an American Mexican thing.
Beans and rice.
No.
Carne asada.
No.
Hot dogs.
No. Your choices were tacos, taquitos, tamales.
Tamales.
Or mole poblano.
I'm going with that one. Seems authentic.
That's the one. That actually gives Hannah 4.
Well, then that's it.
Then that's it.
That's 4?
That's four.
Oh, wow. I'm the winner.
Mm-hmm.
That's disappointing.
Ha-ha.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll win the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yep.
Maybe. Well, let me ask you this.
All right.
Where does the world's largest Cinco de Mayo celebration take place?
San Diego.
New Orleans.
But close. No.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
Hmm.
Los Angeles, California.
Really?
Is the largest Cinco de Mayo celebration.
I wonder why.
Couldn't imagine.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said last week that I wasn't going to do another snake story, but
now that Ty left, it's okay.
Now that Ty left, I'm going to put one in here. Now, the good thing about this one is it's not about a python.
No.
No, it's just about a poisonous cottonmouth.
Oh. Right. That makes it better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the pythons just slither up and squeeze you to death.
Right. A Florida middle school student is recovering days after being bitten by a snake while walking on school grounds.
Whoa.
Yep. Devin Waxman, who attends Markham Woods Middle School in Mary Lake. I thought it was Lake Mary.
I think it's Lake Mary.
Yeah. Said he didn't spot the slithering reptile when it bit him on the ankle on Monday.
He was messing with it.
No, he said he didn't see it, Hannah.
He was messing with it.
Mm-mm.
He's in middle school, honey. He was messing with it.
He, of course, didn't see it.
He said, I was walking from third period and was throwing my water bottle away, and it made a sound, and it bit me. The 14-year-old told Fox 35 Orlando, adding the snake looked like a cottonmouth viper.
Yes.
Mm. When I was in middle school during PE, one of my fellow classmates got bitten by a black racer. He didn't see it either.
Are you sure it was a black? Black racers don't bite.
Exactly.
They do if you taunt them.
If you mess with them enough.
I mean, their heads are only the size of your little finger.
Yeah, but still, he had little holes. He got bit.
He had little
holes. But he didn't see it either, you know?
Well, now the thing, I mean, if this was actually
just
a cottonmouth.
Swinging it around by its tail.
Right.
Cottonmouths or water moccasins, they'll come after you.
Oh, yeah, they'll chase you.
Yeah, I don't like that.
If he threw his water bottle
at it, and it came after him.
Then it came after
him. Mm-hmm. Remember we said that a snake can strike the distance of its body?
Yes.
Right.
So if you've got a 3-foot snake and you're 3 feet away from it, you're too close.
Right.
It will get you.
It will get you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kid got lucky.
Right.
Because the snake was dry for whatever reason. Maybe the drought has something to do with it. So there was no venom.
Because they're very venomous.
They're very poisonous.
When we first moved down here, I saw a series on, I think it was like Bay News 9. Or maybe Fox 13, something like that, where they had a one of their reporters was actually bitten in the back of his property on his arm, and they were fearful that they might have to amputate his arm.
Right.
Remember what they had to do? They spiral cut his skin because it swelled. They had to do that so the skin wouldn't rip.
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oof.
I can't even imagine.
Bad. Snakes. Stay away from the snakes.
Yeah.
And one of the things that article went on to say is, one, snakes, this is their mating season.
Right.
So you see more of them this time of the year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But with the drought, people are seeing more and more of them because small ponds are drying up.
Right.
So they are moving from pond to, you know, trying to find different bodies of water, different water sources. So just be vigilant.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something that's been going on here in our area in Pinellas County. All right. And it's quite of an epidemic where since 2015, more and more teenagers and even preteens are being arrested for doing something that's called car hopping.
Yes.
Yep. Now, kids as young as 10 years old have been arrested for not only breaking into cars and basically just rummaging through everything and stealing change and things like that, but also stealing cars and then getting in some pretty horrific accidents.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so as a public service announcement, keep your car locked.
Right. That, you know, when, that's step one.
Right. And in some parts of the city, the police actually go by your car and check to see if it's locked or not.
Right.
In a lot of cases, if it is locked, they'll actually give you like tickets to the Rays game or something like that. If it's not, they put a note on your seat saying, "Hey,
lock your doors."
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason that they're doing that is because so many people keep like guns in their car and stuff like that. So here's these kids that are breaking in basically to get change. But then if they run across a gun, you think they're going to pass that up?
Right.
No. And then what's even scarier is a 10-year-old behind the wheel of, you know, a 3,000-pound vehicle, you know, going over the speed limit through a neighborhood.
Right.
Very frightening.
Very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, police are cracking down.
Well, I think they need to do a little bit better job because this article came out in the Tampa Bay Times, and it's a lot of local leaders were like, they acted like it was the first they'd heard of it.
Right.
Wow.
You know.
And it's been going on, mm-hmm. like you said, for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Here it says, in 2015, police arrested more kids in Pinellas for grand theft auto than any other county in Florida. A Times analyst of Pinellas police reports from January 2015 through June 2016 found that juveniles were arrested 742 times for auto theft.
742
times. Right.
Wow.
Reporters spoke with the young thieves who described car hopping and joyriding as fun activities that boost their social status.
Yes.
So these little thugs are breaking into your car and then bragging about it on like Facebook and stuff like that.
Right. On social media.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Hey, remember not too long ago, those three girls that took that car.
Stole a car,
and then wound up in the pond.
Right. Well, after a police chase.
Well, that wasn't even a police chase. The police knew that they figured out that it was three young girls and were afraid to actually
pursue them at
high speed.
But they did try to pull them over, and they took off.
Right. And then they wound up over at that cemetery and drove right in the lake.
Right.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
See, I did have something here. Many kids get arrested more than once. One-time offenders, 285. Second-time offenders, 96 kids have been arrested more than once. 33 kids have been arrested for car hopping or joyriding 33 times. All right. Four arrests. 22 kids have been arrested four times.
Wow. What happened to three strikes and you're out?
Five or more times. Why are we allowing more than once?
More than once.
Right. 14 kids have been arrested five or more times for doing this.
That's a problem.
And these are kids. I mean, these are kids that are under 18.
Right.
A lot of them under 16, not even legal to drive.
Right. You know, I mean, that's a problem with our judicial system, mm-hmm. if you ask me.
I have another thing here. Arrests by age. Two 10-year-olds have been arrested. 7 11-year-olds, 5 12-year-olds, 55 13-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's 13 when you start acting like
a fool. When you really start falling apart.
112 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Seems like I knew somebody who had a rough 14th year.
That could have been.
194 15-year-olds, 210 16-year-olds, and 157 17-year-olds. All of these kids under the legal age.
Well, unlicensed, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because at 17, 16, 15, you can get a learner's permit. Mm-hmm. 16, if you've had it for a year, you can get a driver's license. So 16 and 17 may or may not be.
Yeah. Well, it looks here. Here's another graph here. It says juveniles arrested for auto theft in 2015 in Pinellas County alone, 499. Wow. Miami-Dade, 234. Broward County, 204. Orange County, 193. Hillsborough, 156. Pasco, 115. Palm Beach, 103. Los Angeles, 391. Harris County, Houston, 232, and Dallas, 183.
So we have the most out of all
of
them?
We have the most out of all of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a shame. And so dangerous.
So very dangerous. Right? And our
for
roads.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even talking about the how many of them actually get in fatal collisions and things like that. But there's a lot of those, too.
Accidents.
Bad news.
You know, major,
who do you blame for
minor?
That? Is it the parents?
Parents.
Why is your kid out there? I would like to think that I would know that Hannah was out or Ty was out doing something like that, especially at the age of 10.
10.
How do you not know that your 10-year-old is out there acting like a fool?
Right.
And what's your supervision like?
Even at 17.
Right.
If you're being arrested for the third time,
the fourth
time,
right,
and the fifth time.
You're cut off.
Yeah, where are your parents?
Yeah. At that point, I think if, okay, first time, shame on you. Second time, we're going to start pushing you around a little bit. And probably not only is the kid going to get in trouble, the parents are now in trouble.
Right.
I think that's what is going to have to happen, is the parents are going to have to be start being held responsible for their kids.
For their actions.
You start throwing these parents in jail, guess what? You know.
Right.
I think there's going to be a whole different attitude on, you know, watching your kid.
Right.
Keeping them out of trouble.
And what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, five times?
Yeah, that's just outrageous. That's a feral kid. That kid has no supervision whatsoever.
None. And obviously does not understand any of the repercussions.
Does
of
not
being
understand
arrested.
And doesn't care.
Right.
Doesn't have the wherewithal to care.
Right.
That kid is probably so angry at the world because he doesn't have any supervision. You know, believe it or not, kids crave supervision.
Right.
It's supervision that sort of form a child's life.
Right.
And if they have none of it and they see other people with it, then yeah, they're going to be angry.
Right.
That's what I want. And I'm going to start acting out until somebody starts supervising me.
Right. Participating,
I think that's the way it works.
In my life.
Right.
But yeah, five times is, that's
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. All right, so
lock your cars.
Lock your cars. So these days, it seems doctors and surgeons can pretty successfully transplant an array of body parts.
Mm-hmm.
They can transplant hearts, kidneys, eyes, hands, faces. I have not heard about any kind of a Johnson replacement or transplant.
I thought there was one.
Well, they had that, what was his name, Wayne Bobbitt. But that wasn't a transplant. That was just
a reattachment.
Let's see. Scientists in China have been experimenting with rats.
Mm. Yeah.
Dead rats. And what they're doing is they're taking a dead rat and they're taking a live rat. And they are taking the head off the live rat and attaching it to the dead rat to try to reanimate it.
Oh. Gross. That's,
yeah.
Yuck.
Now, I saw some pictures online, and it shows a white rat, like a big white rat, and it's laying there with its eyes closed. Then there's another picture with this littler or smaller rat head on it that actually has an arm on it.
Ooh.
It looks like it's hugging it. Yeah, on the back of its neck. And then the next picture has both of their eyes open, like it has reanimated. Both, because you'd have to kill both of them, have to be dead at one point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now they're both reanimated. Okay. They say that those rats are only living like up to 36 hours. But it gives other doctors and scientists hope that by, going through those procedures of reconnecting the spinal cord and the spine, you have to fuse the spine and those kinds of things, that in the future, you could literally do a human head transplant.
Oh, my.
Right. Well, there's an Italian doctor, and Dr. Sergio Canavero, and... also known as Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Well, he says that here, and I think he's looking at like September, he wants to do the first human head transplant.
What?
Yeah. Well, he says that leading up to it, he's going to practice on fresh cadavers. So this is sounding a lot more and more like the Frankenstein movies.
Right.
Yeah, because definitely. Here's the thing. I'm not even sure if I've signed up to be an organ donor. I know for a fact that I didn't sign up to be any part of the Frankenstein experience.
Right.
You know what I mean? So where are you getting these fresh cadavers?
Oh, my.
Are they prisoners? Is he digging them? What's he doing?
You have to be just of a very specific mind.
Yeah.
To be able to do this. I mean, it's one thing to possibly formulate
and
think, you know, of all of the things that would need to happen, but then to actually start doing it.
Yeah, well,
Wow.
Well, how do you get so deep in thought thinking about reanimating a human being by attaching another head to it? Like if you take a cadaver, cut its head off. Now listen. Before, let me just explain this. The reason that this doctor is doing this, okay, he thinks that this is going to be a great way of helping people with like that are paralyzed from the neck down. Mm. Or people that were born with body imperfections.
Right.
Now, their head is fine. There's nothing wrong with their head.
Right.
But their body's all goofy, right?
So, like, say Stephen Hawking.
Right. Okay. So, he would be a good candidate, all right? So, what this doctor's saying is, we're going to lop your head off. And we're gonna freeze it.
Somehow I don't think that's what he's telling you.
You don't think that's part of the sales pitch?
No.
Lopping. You think they leave that word out?
We're gonna lop your head off and put it in the deep freeze.
Until we find a good body for you.
Okay, so you know,
so you're dead for however long that is.
What's the definition of a good body?
Well, here's the thing. There's a Russian guy, Valery Spiridonov. Well, he's volunteered to be the first person to have the head transplant operation. Valery is a tiny little dude. I saw him in the picture. But his head's okay, but his body's all twisted.
Right.
Okay. So he has volunteered to be the first transplant.
Okay.
So my question is, has he gotten together with this Dr. Sergio, and does like Dr. Sergio wheel Valerie around town, and all of a sudden Valerie goes, oh, doc, that one.
Right.
That's the one. I want that one. Put my head on that one.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, I'm...
Do you get to pick?
No, I don't think you get to pick. God, how morbid is that? But I am, I'm short. Everyone knows this. I'm 4'11 and a half. Now, I am picturing what would happen if you put my head on, say, a 6 foot tall. Once my head is attached, I'd be 6 feet tall.
You'd look like a pinhead.
Well, is it a learning curve? Do you have to think differently?
I would think so. I mean, how would you... I mean, I would be spatial, bumping my head on things and knocking things
spatial
over.
Well, here's the thing that I thought about.
Because your arm's longer than your
Well, first of all...
Your legs.
First of all, a lot of these body recipients may have never walked in their life. So they don't know anything about it.
Right.
So you'd have to learn everything from scratch, right?
And again, we're assuming that everything goes spot on and you retain all of your mental capacity.
Well, then I started thinking about, it's like when you do like a kidney transplant or a heart transplant, that kind of thing, you have to have the right blood type.
Right.
Well, oh, yeah.
Well, why would you have to have the right blood type in this situation?
Well, you wouldn't want head rejection.
Well, why would it reject it?
Because you would still need the blood vessels running through.
Right.
Yeah, no, but still, why would it matter what blood was running through?
Because it has to match with the body.
Yeah, it has to be a match.
It has to match or else it'll reject.
Well, what's going to know that it doesn't match? The brain?
You, I guess.
Because if the blood is coming from the heart, right? Okay, let's say you have
the head. if you put a new heart in.
Yeah, but if you have a head with a brain in it, and attached to the head is a bit of the spinal cord and the spine, okay? At this point, it is devoid of any blood, all right? So the body that you're going to stick this head on is the producer the blood. So why would it matter to the head what's being pumped through there?
In that case, it doesn't matter. But if the head keeps all of its blood vessels and they try to keep all the blood and everything in the head,
yeah,
then it matters. Because you can't have two different blood types mixing. Well,
I don't think you keep the blood in the head.
Well,
I think you just drain it.
How does it stay alive if you just
You freeze it.
Well, there's still blood in it if you freeze it.
Yeah, but then right before the surgery, you just hold it up and shake it a couple times, get all that
put
last
it in
bit
the
of
microwave.
Blood, get all that last bit of blood, and you stick
put
it on the
warm
body.
It up.
No,
it's just a creepy. It's a whole creepy thing.
It's very creepy, but it's very interesting.
It's interesting. I hope they do it.
We need to either Google or email the blood type question on this, because that is an interesting. Thought
yeah.
of, you know, it's
would it matter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just, how creepy.
Yeah. I have a quick story here that I thought was a fairly humorous. Italian man killed neighbor, mother of two, who trained her parrot to verbally abuse him.
Yes, and we know it's possible.
Yeah, we do know it's possible. 46-year-old Ignazio Frailes is accused of ambushing 60-year-old Maria Bonaria Cantu as she walked with a friend and stabbing her 11 times. She died. Her friend was wounded.
Whoa. I think he was upset.
I think he was. He had enough of that bird. Authorities say Ignazio was driven to murder Maria because she had trained her parrot to verbally insult him. Ignazio is reported to have spent much of his day playing video games within earshot of the parrot.
Or was it all in his mind?
Yeah, his uncle said listening to the parrot berate him became an obsession for him. Mental illness may have also played a part.
You think?
It said that in the article.
I mean, maybe it was just a foul-mouthed bird. You know, I mean, maybe he just took things too personally. I mean, was the bird calling him out by name?
I think so.
Ignazio.
Well, I mean, the bird next door used to call the Brutus.
Yeah.
White dog.
White dog.
White dog.
White dog.
You know.
Remember that those two birds would get in arguments?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shut up. You shut up. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is, you know, was the bird actually taunting the man
or was
the bird
flapping his gums,
flapping his beak?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, it says here, and this is a good thing. It says the parrot is believed to be unharmed.
Oh, good.
Okay. Good for the
person is dead, but the parrot can live another day to harass the man.
The 6-year-old mother of two was stabbed 11 times. That's what you get for training your bird to be a jerk.
Right. Or, you know, where life takes you playing video games all day with a neighbor who has a bird.
Yep. Let's see. One of the things I like to do at the end of every show is I like to give you some quotes from my favorite magazine, The Week magazine, that I love so much. The first one said, "Never argue with stupid people. They will drag you down to their level and beat you with experience."
Ah, I like that.
And that came from Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hannah Claire, you know Mark Twain's real name?
No.
Samuel Clemens. Oh. The next one says, "I don't care what you say about me, just be sure to spell my name wrong." That came from Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm. Well, how the hell
hell do you spell that anyway?
Yeah, right.
Babs.
Babs.
Well, no, the last bit.
Let's see. It says, the next one says...
Frankenstein.
People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive.
Ah. Huh.
And that came from Blaise Pascal. I'm pretty sure his name isn't Blaise, but it's B-L-A-I-S-E.
I'm sure it's some Blaise.
Blaise Pascal.
Pascal.
Yeah. The next one says, at the door of every contented, happy man, somebody should stand with a little hammer constantly tapping to remind him that unhappy people exist.
Yeah. What?
If you're a happy man and you're inside and you're content, this person suggests that you should have a little man outside just constantly tapping to let you know that there are people outside that are not so happy.
Does he live in a condo?
No, it's Anton Chekhov.
Mm.
Chekhov, Anton.
Chekhov. And the last one says, so what's been going on while I've been gone? Barack Obama.
Oh, Barry.
Anyway, that's it. Those are our quotes of the week. That was our show. We are right down to it. Hannah Claire, do you have anything you want to add here at the end of the show?
No, but I just like finished this boss coloring.
Yes, she's been coloring.
Hannah with her adult coloring books over there. Very cool.
You make it sound like they're
dirty.
They're dirty. Yeah,
like, erotic.
Like
they're
triple
adult.
X.
No.
No, it's.
Well, that's
it's,
what they're
it's
called.
It's a tattoo
right?
coloring book.
It, oh. Right.
Tattoo images.
Well, yeah, she's not coloring Barney.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, do you have anything?
Kelly's Live, 5252 Tamiami Trail.
Right. Let's see. I don't have anything to add other than this last song that I'm going to play was recommended to me by my dad, Hannah Claire, Grandpa Ron. And it is a song by Cab Calloway. And the name of the song is Everybody Eats When They Come to My House.
Ah.
All right.
Sounds like everybody that ever came to our house.
That's right. It's a good song, Hannah Claire. You're going to like it. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. live here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We love doing the show, and we hope to see you again or talk to you again next week.
Yes.
Everybody have a very safe weekend, and everybody eats when they go to Cab's house.
Right. Are you
what
going to Semper Fi?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Semper Fi, everybody. Oh, Semper Fi, Devil Dog. Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I miss you, Mom.
Everyone love everyone.
All for one and one for all.
All right, now everybody go to Cabs and eat.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. You with the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake mandrake, having a derby irby, looking the fendel mendel.
That's it.